reason I'm reading their weather forecast, because I want to bring it up with Neil Vincent, who's joining us this morning, Crab Orchard Wildlife Visitor Services. First off, morning, sir. How you been, Neil?
Hey, just fine, Tom. How you been doing?
Good. Lake wind advisor. We were talking, you know, if you had an overwhelming urge to go fishing today, not the best day ever when it comes to the winds.
Yeah, it's been that way the last couple of days. I mean, you know, with Crab Orchard, you know, it doesn't take much to, you know, get a pretty good wake out there. So, you know, we would say, you know, kind of watch out for that if you're going out today. And you know, it looks like it's going to be a good weekend, so it wouldn't hurt to put it off for another day, probably.
You know, I took the time, left my quarantine area while things were kind of the height of the lockdown, and went for a drive around Crab Orchard Lake. And the first place I went was the visitors area on Route 13, and it was, say, 6:30, and it was packed. It was a nice day, great temperatures. It was packed. That's no news to you, but, I mean, you've had a lot of visitors over this time period because of the state parks being closed. They came to Crab.
Yeah, they did. You know, we shut down basically our visitor center, sent everyone home, I think, around March the 23rd. And in April, our visitation actually tripled for the month of April compared to the last 3 years for that same time period.
Wow. You know, I'm not surprised. I don't know how the hell you keep count, because there's so many people at so many different places. But, you know, I'm not surprised at all, because the first thing I said, well, Kate was in the driver's seat, and I said, this looks like July 4th. This looks like Memorial Day weekend. It wasn't yet. And that was the impression I got from the crowd level on a weekday afternoon, early evening.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it was. I mean, you know, we've got like 30, right at 30 traffic counters, you know, stationed throughout the refuge and on our trails and in different places. You know, one of our traffic counters one day had over 2,000 vehicles, you know, that went by that one area going into Prairie Creek. And our hiking trails was really, you know, we were averaging 66 people a day on our trails throughout that month. And so, a lot of people were discovering Crab Orchard Refuge for the first time. You know, we were getting calls from Missouri, Kentucky, and places just looking for places to get out of the house. And so, you know, that's kind of a good thing. You know, we were being rediscovered.
Yeah, and I think it is too. And you know what's interesting? I still discover new stuff at Crab Orchard. And new places to take a walk where, you know, your staff has been out mowing. Here's a question, though. We're speaking with Neil Vincent. He's with Visitor Services, Crab Orchard Wildlife Refuge. So much of what you were doing staff-wise was shut down as far as the public is concerned. How did you, with that much pressure on a facility, trash cans, mowing, parking lots, lights, there's a lot of stuff that people don't think about, maintenance that goes on every day. How did you staff and keep the park ready for a triple amount of visitors when you were supposed to be kind of quarantining yourself?
Well, you know, we actually done our cleaning, like our restrooms and trash cans. We done a private contract on that, had a company come out to clean those. We actually shut our restrooms down and then put porta potties at each of those areas. So our staff, like I said, most of our staff was, you know, sent home, but it was okay for us to, you know, to get general contractors to do that. And then basically my staff here for Visitor Services, we spread our offices throughout the Visitor Center to try to keep that social distancing, because we were averaging 100, 120 phone calls a day, you know, with questions. And so, you know, we were here answering the phones, and then we rotated for our mowing. You know, we just kind of rotated our maintenance guys come in one 2 days a week to mow grass. But, you know, there's things that, you know, people don't think of. You know, we have water lines and sewer lines and things like that we have to maintain daily too. So you know, we had a certain number of staff that had to come in a few hours a day to check on that stuff, just to make sure, you know, everything was being operated right.
Well, and this is one of the questions, because I should know the answer to this, because I know you've told me. We think about Crab Orchard Lake, but you've got 5 or 7 ponds and lakes that you operate and regulate and maintain. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, we've got the three lakes, Crab Orchard Lake, Devil's Kitchen Lake, and Little Grassy Lake. So those are all, you know, huge lakes. And then when it comes to bank fishing, you know, we have, 5 or 6, you know, 40-acre ponds that will allow bank fishing in also. But, you know, we have a total of like 44,000 acres that that we have on the refuge. Then, you know, we was talking about maintenance. You know, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, that you got General Dynamics out here, and, you know, and we're responsible for providing them, you know, water and maintaining the roads for those guys, for those industrial complex too. And so, you know, there's a lot going on out here.
Yeah. And by the way, can't believe I'm getting ready to do this because it's my favorite spot. And you know how us Southern Illinoisans are about our favorite spots. If I'm going to tell you, I have to kill you. You have heard that before. I know you have.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite spots for a walk, it's the pond you have on Spillway Road before the curve going south. There's a little parking lot there on the left before you go to the curve. And instead of going to the pond, there is a great area where you can walk, and your staff does a great job of mowing a big, long swath back there. Great place to go for a walk with a dog, by the way. You work with these other locations like Little Grassy, and you have to work with the concessionaires on what they're doing and how they're reopening as well. And that's one of the, for lack of a better word, phases that you're going through at the facility. I saw one of the concessionaires posted at their campgrounds, you can have an RV, but you can't have a tent.
Yeah, I mean, that's the guidelines that we were actually doing at all of our campgrounds, the concessions, and then we'll be opening our campground this Thursday, Crab Orchard. So, you know, we're encouraging self-contained units, basically just for the safety. And a lot of this is dealing with, you know, you don't realize it. That a lot of people don't realize, but for example, at Crab Orchard Campground, 60% of our campers are in that high-risk category than everyone. And it's ran with volunteers, which all the volunteers are in that high-risk category. So, just trying to be safe, and because someone's got to clean the bathrooms, you're going to have contact with them. So we're just looking at areas to try to cut down as much exposure as we can for visitor contacts.
I need to ask you a question for my own sake. Can I get a sticker now? How do I get a sticker? I need a new one.
We are still waiving fees, and we're doing that nationwide. There's only 34 refuges nationwide that charges like an entrance fee. So at this time, we are all still waiving fees until further notice. You know, in the emails that I'm getting out of the Washington office, it looks like, you know, that may be changing, you know, around 4th of July weekend or something like that. They may start phasing us in to start, you know, collecting fees again.
So I lean towards this word because it's been so frequently used on the state level is the phase of reopening. How do you define this? What services are currently available, and what's next after you go to the next phase and letters from Washington? How do you describe your current phase?
Well, we're still in, as the federal phase, we're still in phase one. So, you know, when we go to phase two, it's kind of, it will be more like the phase four of Illinois, where you're allowed to gather in crowds of 50 into that venue. But so basically what we do, we have an operational plan for each activity that we will have to look at, and we're supposed to follow the county, state guidelines and seeing what's going on in the county we're located in. Then we can do an operation plan, the manager can, then we have to send that up to our regional office when we're getting ready to open something for someone in our regional office in Minneapolis to approve. And so that's kind of the way that we are having to operate.
Well, I see you as being like a pinball, the ball in the pinball machine, bouncing between about three or four bumpers, state, federal, county, federal, yes. And you bump between those, and once you've bumped and everybody rings, you get to go where you want to go next.
Yes,
but that's got to be nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
It can't be easy. So I'm curious, you have a lot of events that are scheduled. I mean, from cleanups to bird watching. What's the status there, and is that what your phone call's about? I mean, for people who participate in these so frequently, what's your advice on being able to obtain the newest information?
You know, the thing that I would say is just follow us on Facebook, you know, and we've been pretty good about being able to post what's coming up. And right now we have went ahead and postponed every, you know, like our birding events and photography events and things like that for the month of June. Then, you know, And I know rumors is that the Illinois is going to be going into like a phase 4 at the end of the month. And so, you know, when we evaluate that might be the time that, you know, we feel comfortable of, you know, going up to another phase here. You know, the thing is, you know, just, you know, as long as we're documenting the proper paperwork and filling out and we feel comfortable with, you know, the safety and there's no big, you know, spikes in the virus, you know, we feel that we could be able to go to those next stages.
Did you allow spring turkey season?
We did allow spring turkey season at that time. Yeah. So
you were real popular then.
Yeah. I mean, that was the big thing. The only thing when the state, you know, the state, when they shut down their campground or their state parks completely, you know, the message that we were getting from the Washington office was try to leave as much open as we could for the general public. So, you know, basically we just closed our facilities and, you know, where there was a lot of contact with employees and volunteers and left the boat ramps open, the hunting areas open, and the fishing areas open. And, you know, and it didn't take long to find out, you know, this is, you know, open for fishing. And it was still that way April. I haven't crunched April's numbers yet, but I'm sure they were up quite a bit too.
Well, you know, in some ways, I can see this, and I could hear that earlier on when you and I began speaking, the enthusiasm that people have for Crab Orchard Lake, and then you had this challenge where there were so many places maybe you normally couldn't go, and there were so fewer things that people flocked to Crab Orchard, exposed themselves to something that both you and I can probably agree to a great deal has been taken for granted. Because it's, you know, I mean, I used to come all the way when I lived in Harrisburg. I came all the way to Crab Orchard. We came regularly, especially with my parents and then, you know, deer looking and photography and everything else. But I'm wondering now if maybe we won't have a lasting effect from people's exposures to Crab Orchard once they realize it's more than one guest location on 13 and a couple of boat ramparts. It's such a much bigger thing.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that's what people are discovering. I mean, you know, especially the nature trails. I was really impressed with the individuals, you know, that were coming out and hiking the trails. And then we were getting comments on Facebook, you know, thank you, first time being here and coming back and things like that. And, you know, and some of the individuals lived here in the area for a few years and didn't realize that the trails and the walking areas that we had. So that was encouraging to see, you know, that happening, and hopefully, you know, we can, you know, encourage them to come out to some of our other events and things like that, and you know, find you know, a place for them to, you know, come and recreate at.
You know, when I'm out messing around the lake, and I see a vehicle come in, pull in with an out-of-state plate, I head over and say, "Hey, where y'all from?" And it's even before the pandemic, I noticed a lot of people at some of the fishing areas, in particular. Places like Caro and Evansville, Indiana, and Paducah, Kentucky. And I think I'm always a little impressed by the fact that they take that time. And then, of course, I run into the parents who are so often there waiting for their kids to get some type of paperwork or something done at SIU, and they're hanging out at the lake with the rest of the family. So I think that exposure, I really hadn't thought. I thought about kind of Crab Orchard as more of a pressure relief valve for people getting out of the house. And after talking with you today, I see this as more of an opportunity than I did, say, 15 minutes ago when we started talking, that people may rediscover and return, and hopefully when everything is reopened, drop a couple of bucks when they come back to visit.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping for. You know, we tried to make sure that we had all of our pamphlets outside the front, outside the visitor center, you know, even though some of those events were canceled, that they could see what we were doing and try to encourage them to come back on some of these, you know, different activities and events that we're hosting here.
Before I let you go, two things I want to mention. If you don't have the new sticker, like myself, you can still go to the lake. They won't go, where's your sticker? You don't have to worry about the sticker right now. So there's a good note there. And when do you think the visitor center will be open? When will the next phase be open? And for it, what you think, I realize it's kind of a fluid situation. What's your goal?
Yeah, those are really hard to predict right now. you know, just the emails and information we're getting out of the Washington office, you know, they're looking at ways to try to open this up. And you know, with the national parks, you know, we follow, we're the same agency as the National Department of Interior. We're same part of the National Park Service. So they're starting to open up. So we're getting more signs that it's getting soon, but you know, they're not giving us any dates or anything like that at this time. A lot of it's just, you know, getting everything in effect. Like when you go to Home Depot or if you go to Menards, seeing how they've changed their cashiers. That's something that we're going to have to do here at the Visitor Center too.
All right. It's always good to talk to my friend Neil Vincent with Crab Orchard Wildlife Refuge. He's the head of visitor services and been a busy guy. And I really appreciate you making us look good for all the people who came to visit from out of state too, by the way. Thanks. I appreciate that.
Yep. Well, thank you, Tom.
I meet your guys every once in a while mowing grass, and I stop them for just a couple of minutes, and they keep me up on what they're doing out there. You got a great bunch of people out there that are really conscientious about making the place look good. And every time I talk to them, I'm like, God, love those guys, man.
Yeah, I mean, we got a good crew, and that's what it takes. You know, they've got pride in the place, and you can see that in some of the areas.